Well, I'm going to tell you my testimony. I'm going to tell you what happened to me and how I didn't choose to come to this, and how God brought me to this truth, this end time truth, brought me to Sam and Lorraine, and how he led me ever since I was in the colony, and how he took me out of there and took me through all this stuff that I went through just to bring me to this truth. Because at the end of the day, all those people that are texting me and trying to get me away from Sam and Lorraine, I guess you're not looking underneath the surface. You're just looking on the surface. You should ask me how I came to it or how I got saved, but I guess nobody's telling you how I got saved. So I'm gonna tell you how God led me to this truth. And it wasn't something I did, and it wasn't something I chose. It was something God predestined me to come to this. Because at the end of the day, if I wanted to come to this, then God wouldn't get any glory. I could just tell, I found Jesus. But no, Jesus found me. And it's a long... And he drew me out of that colony. He took me out of that colony, out of the Hutterite colony. Because at the end of the day, it was a fight with me. It was a fight against Satan had me in that colony. Because I remember when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, I was so drowning in sin that I couldn't... I didn't even want to be in sin. Like I do things. I'd smoke, I'd drink, I'd watch porn, and that was all in the colony. I know there's young people doing that too there now. I know that stuff is going on, and because there's people like me out there who went through the same stuff. But I was drowning in sin. Like I was drowning in sin. And I didn't want to do it. Like when I got caught doing it, like I was so ashamed of myself. I was in this dark feeling came over me. I was ashamed, and I didn't wanna see people. I would just lie in my bed, and I actually wanted to die. I didn't want to live anymore because of the things I was doing. But now that I look back, I wasn't ashamed of God doing it before God. I was ashamed of people, but later on I started to know God, or not know him, but I started to be convicted of my sin, and God would start to convict me. That was 2 years ago. But anyways, I want to take you through how he led me out of that colony, how he led me to where I am now, where I am in this truth. So I can go back to the colony when I was a kid, and there are times when God would show himself to me, like not show himself like you can't see God, but he would like try to get my attention, kind of thing. God does that. He's always trying to get people's attention, and he's not as loud as the devil is. The devil is loud, like on TVs, bragging and music and all this, but God, he doesn't show himself, you know. He's a small, still small voice kind of thing. Anyways, I wanna this one time I was a kid, I remember it was raining, and there was a lightning flash, not a, like a lightning strike, but a flash, you know, the flashes. And it stuck around, this one. Like I was playing in puddles and stuff. And I remember this one time, this one lightning flash stuck stuck around. It didn't go away. Like, normally it just split second, it's gone. But this one stuck around. And I remember I ran from it. I was scared and I ran and hid from it. And I was just peering over a corner looking at it, and it was still there. And there's a lot of other stuff too, like my door. Like, one time I was sleeping, my door, my closet door moved by itself. And there's a lot of, probably a lot more times that I can't think of them right now. But there's also the devil was there too. And the devil, I was demon possessed. I'm not right now. I'm not demon possessed anymore because Jesus saved me. But I was demon possessed, and I remember I'd wake up one morning. It was before morning. It was still dark, I guess. And I wasn't even up yet, and my neck would twist like as if somebody was trying to break my neck off, and it would crack. It was a loud crack, and I fell asleep again. And I woke up and I tried to move my neck, and I couldn't move it. As if something was there turning my neck, like a sharp turn trying to break it. And I woke up in the morning, and it was I couldn't move it, and I was in incredible pain. That's one time Satan tried to take me out there, like he tried to break my neck. It was all part of that demon possession thing. But anyways, I was drowning around my teenager years. I was drowning in sin. Like I would drink. And I thought it was the thing to do, because when you're in the colony, like, the older guys, they drink, and you think that's the way to go. And that's what I would do. I would drink and smoke and whatever. Watch porn. That's where I started. My porn addiction started there. It was all devil introducing that stuff. Satan is, he doesn't care. He just wants you serving him, and that's what I was doing. I was serving him. But anyways, and there, that's the time in the teenager years, and I remember at this party once, there was a party going on, a lot of drinking there. And I remember this song. I heard this song. I'll tell you the words. It was a song by Takeda. And it was a song, "You learn like a shadow flows in the rain, like a foreign flame in the dark showing you the way. And you learn what we feel now isn't pain, just a scent of it is enough, blinding me with grace. And you learn like a shadow flows in the rain," kind of thing. And instantly my spirit picked that song up. And I knew when I listened to it, I knew that God was speaking to me through those songs. And there was a couple other songs that guy had, his band had, like "Silence Calls You and I." That was God luring me. And "Run, Run Away" was another one that he used. "Run, Run Away, Run, Run Alone, Run, Run Away Until You're Gone. You Cannot Live in a Lie." So those were songs, things that God used to draw me, to kind of get my attention. Because at the end of the day, in that colony, I didn't learn anything. Like, sure, I learned Bible stories, like Picture Bible or whatever, Daniel and the Lions. I learned that. But when I was trying to read the Bible, I couldn't read it. It didn't do anything for me. I think I read the Bible over two times. Like, I had a small red Bible and I read it over two times. And it didn't do anything for me. But yeah, I knew the basics, Daniel and the Lions and Jesus and all those things. But I didn't know who Jesus was at that time. I just thought he was, I didn't know. No, because at the end of the day, they don't teach you who he really is there. So anyways, the only thing that would keep me really going, spiritually speaking, like kind of keep my spirit alive, because it, at the end of the day, that place is a spiritual dead place. And God, what he'll do, like it says in the Bible, Jesus said that God draws those that come to him, like the Himmelvater erzieht, he draws you to Jesus. And that's what God was starting to do with these songs. And I would just sit there and meditate. I just sit there. Yeah, I was in love with a girl at that time too. That was kind of a battle. I was in love with this girl and then God, and then there was a battle going on there. So I just listened to the song Silence Calls You and I and meditate. And I knew God was talking to me through those songs. Because the Holy Spirit, he talks to you through songs. Like, yeah, I know a lot of singers here of the devil, like the spirit behind every singer there is a spirit. And a lot of them, pretty much most of them, are all spirit of Satan, like trying to influence the world with his crap that he has. Sex and all that garbage. Anyways, I knew that Takeda guy, he was singing. Like you learn, like a shadow flows in the rain and all these. And I just listened to those and they kept me alive. And it was around that time that I started rebelling against my mom. I don't know when I did that, but I started fighting against that Hutterite spirit. Because that's all it is, the spirit of Satan there. And I started fighting against it. And the devil would use my mom. He would use my mom to keep me there, you know. He would to try and keep me in that place. But God was drawing me out. And if God draws you, he's gonna do whatever it takes. If he wants you, he will get you to where he wants you, kicking and screaming. And that was what was going on there, that fight. I can blame my mom, but at the end of the day, it's not my mom who did that. It's the spirit of Satan there. That's what that Hutterite thing is. It's the devil's playground. It's a demonic nest. That's what the Bible says. I don't say that. It's what the Bible says. But anyways, so I'd start rebelling against that place, and I knew I had to leave. I knew God already put that in my heart to leave. He already told me you gotta leave one day, and I already knew that. And I just sit there and listen to this Takeda songs, and just that's what kind of kept me alive. Other than that, I was kind of just, you know, yeah, sure, I'd go to work there, and that would get my mind off things. Yeah, that would help. Like, but whatever. It was still always that depression, that dark feeling there. I was always in dark, like depressed, angry, hurt. Like me and my mom constantly fighting. I remember this one time I ran, like my mom found something in my room. And she would tell her mom. And I just run out of the house. And I'd run till I couldn't run no more. And then I'd just break down and cry, and my mom would run after me, and she'd hold me and cry too. Like, I guess that was that conflict. Like, I know my mom, she wants to be a mom. She wants to be a mom, and she wants to, I don't know how to say it, but she wants to be a mom at the end of the day. But she can't, because the devil has her in his clutches, like he does the Hutterite nation. He has them in his clutches. And that's what was going on with my mom. And that was the battle between me and my mom, was that spirit. Always conflict between them, and God was drawing me out, like they see, like my mom said once, it's the devil doing. No, that was God getting me out of there, because he had a plan for me. He wanted to bring me to his son, Jesus, so that he could save me. Because at the end of the day,
That's what was going on. That's why I had to leave. Because at the end of the day, I didn't even want to leave. Because I remember I tried leaving before that. I even one time, Greenwald knows what I'm about. They know what I went through. They know what I did. They know that I tried running away once. I tried running away once. Just run out of the colony, steal a vehicle, and just go. And all the things that I did there, the sin that I was in and all that stuff, they know who I am. I don't know if anybody was even worse than maybe there. I was the worst one in Greenwald by far. But at the end of the day, I didn't want to do those things. Like I was the spirit of Satan that had a hold on me, and I couldn't break free, because you can't in that place. It's in, like, the only thing that can help get you to break free is Jesus. So anyways, when the time came to leave, I remember I tried leaving. My mom would always catch me. That was the devil trying to keep me back there. But I knew I had to leave. There wasn't. And I remember the day I left, I didn't want to leave. I remember I was watching a movie. I had all this whatever comfortably sitting, and then all of a sudden this text comes on. Do you want to leave? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I was thinking, kind of comfortable right now. I didn't want to leave. And then God told me, if you don't leave today, that's the last chance you're going to get. Because I tried multiple times before and I'd always get caught. But that was God's day for me to leave. And I guess I was sensitive to that voice, and I knew that he was telling me today's the day. So I leave, and I come to this. I was at this guy's house. It took me away for 3 days. I had to get out because the landlord didn't allow. I was sleeping on a baby bed on the floor. The landlord didn't allow any in that guy's room, because the landlord didn't allow me to stay there, so I had to move, and I moved over to my aunt's place. And over there, I started working here at my aunt's place. I'd work at spray foam company here in Winnipeg. And eventually the time came that God would move me out of there. Like, he bought this guy. There's one guy from Greenwald there, and this guy kind of drove me out of there. He had a different plan. And we'd move to Neverville. And in Neverville, I'd fall into drugs and all these things. I'd start doing drugs. Heavy duty. Didn't think much of it. I was just living like a lot of people are living today. Like, they just do whatever, drink, smoke, do drugs, and just live it up. That's what I was doing. I didn't think much of it. So anyways, after that episode, that was a year, I was there a year, God moved me out again. Like, that was over. I think we wanted to stay, but I knew that voice, that God. That's how God's been dealing with me. He's moving on my heart. When he moves on my heart, I know I just do it. Like when he got me to leave the colony, I did it. I just left. Because I am sensitive to his voice. That's what that is. So when the time came to get out of Neverville, we move over to Winnipeg. And in Winnipeg, I still do the same thing. I do drugs too there, but drowning in sin. Like, I was in the colony. I was drowning. But you see, it's not that I, but I still had a conscience, you know. I still didn't want to do it. And I always had this feeling inside of me, like I wanted to be free from sin. I didn't know what it was at that time, but it was, that's what it was. It was wanting to be free. Wanting to come to Jesus. I was always looking for something. I didn't know it at that time, but now I know what it is. Now everything makes sense. So anyways, in Winnipeg, I watched this Maple Grove video. That's when God started to deal with me about the Hutterite colony. I didn't know about it. I didn't know about it before. But when I watched that Maple Grove, that video about that Maple Grove, I started to see things. I started to see God was speaking to me, and he started to show me what that system is really about. He was starting to show me that it's not of him, kind of thing. It's not his, like when you leave and you live there, you think it's the church of God. But God was starting to move on my heart and show me that there's nothing there, like it's whatever, you know what I mean. And so he started here in Winnipeg doing that, because at the end of the day, it's the spirit that quickens. Like when you watch that video, yeah, you can think, yeah, they're making us look bad. Like my mom said, they're making us look bad. And if I had a chance to do it, I would do it different. Yeah, you can't make that place look better. You can't make that place look good. It's impossible. It's not of God, and that's that. It's a state. So anyways, God was starting to deal with me. And I'd see things, and I'd start speaking out against it. Like, I moved out of that house in Winnipeg, here in Winnipeg, and I moved to Saskatchewan. And that's when God really started to deal with me about the Hutterite place. He'd show me what it's about. And I'd started to pack a Bible there, too. Like, I started to read the Bible. I think it was 2 years ago. And I'd start speaking up against it. I'd start telling my mom that there's nothing there. So anyways, I do that, and that's in that farm in Saskatchewan. That's when I started to really change. When God started to move on me, he really started to move on me. Like, he started to change my life. And I remember this one time I did those, what do they call it, magic mushrooms? It's a drug. It's a bad drug. And I think I'm this big guy, and I saw this guy crawling around on the floor. Like, three guys were there, and I go there and chase out the name of Jesus Christ. I chase out that demon. I thought that guy was demon possessed. And so I do that, and that guy turns normal, and I think I did something. Like, I thought I was this big guy. I was this. But anyways, That's when things started turning around for me. That's when I started to really change. Like, I remember I even started to smell different, because this one guy there, the one guy I was working with there, he would say that I smell like the devil. You smell like the devil. And I've had people say to me that you have the devil in your eyes. Like, I hung out with guys, and they say, the devil is in your eyes. And I've had guys say people say my eyes are weird. And now it makes sense, because I did have the devil in me. I had a demon in me. So anyways, that's when my life started to really change, and I started to feel like I'd start to stare, like I would just...
I couldn't talk with people anymore. Like before, it didn't really bother me. I could talk with people. I was this happy-go-lucky guy. But that's when it started to turn around, and I started to see who people really are, or like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's when I started I started to pack a Bible and all that. And it was around that time that my mom and dad tried to get me back too, but they started really to, they would do anything in their power to do it. It was the devil at the end of the day, spirit of Satan, and they would pretend they're sick and say it's my fault and all that, and send me pictures of my sister, and that's when the devil was really ramping it up to try and get me back, because the devil knows you're predestined. He knows you're coming to Jesus, and he does everything in his power, because when he wanted me back in that colony, because when I would be in that colony, I'd be locked in. I wouldn't be able to come to Jesus anymore. Anyways, that was their plan at the end of the day. Or the devil's... I'm not blaming them. It's the devil behind it doing that. And my mom would do anything possible. She would... On Facebook, she'd try to intimidate me with that place. And I remember I'd always be scared of it. Like... Die Welt and a colony and all that. I'm out in the world, and colony is kind of the ark kind of thing, but Jesus is actually the ark. It's not a colony. Now I know that. And she tried to intimidate me with that. Like on Facebook, she put pictures of hell and all those things, like try to scare me into going back. And it actually worked. I was scared. I wanted to go back a couple of times. And even this one time I tried, like I was here in Winnipeg, I tried going back. And I had this car, and I wanted to sell this car. So I go to the Ford dealership wanting to sell that car. And I end up buying a brand new car. Like I didn't even want to. I didn't even... plan. I planned on going there and selling that old car, but I ended up driving out of the lot with a brand new car. That's just the way God gave me that car, just to make sure that I wouldn't go back, because God knows, God knew that I would go back. I wanted to go back, and he would make sure that, no, you're not going back, because I have a plan for you. And those are just some examples, and there's a lot of examples, like those apartments that I had. They were all handed to me. I didn't have to do anything. I just go on Kijiji and I just see this apartment. It was like a big, it was like a finger was pointing at that apartment, and I press it. I pressed the link and I called this guy or this woman, and it was already done. They showed an apartment, a brand new apartment. Nobody had ever lived in it before. And so that's just the way God has been dealing with me. He gave me everything, like everything was kind of handed to me. I didn't have to go through anything to get it. And from the day I moved out of my aunt's house, I remember that everything was done. I didn't have to manipulate or whatever. I didn't have to do nothing. It was given to me, like this car, this jobs. I didn't have to do nothing. That job, that fireman, that job in Saskatchewan, I just called the guy. I basically interviewed him. He didn't interview me. So yeah, that's just the way God has been. God took me out of there, and he helped me. But the point I'm trying to get to is how he saved me. And I want to get off track here. I want to get back to when I started to become... mentally tormented by this demon. That was after I did those drugs that I started changing. I started being weird. I'd stare into people's eyes. I couldn't talk to people. I'd just stare into eyes with a blank stare. And I remember I'd
going to stores, and I'd be scared of people. I don't know. I couldn't talk to people anymore, and people would look at me weird, like I'm some kind of weirdo, and I'd see that, and I'd get scared of people. And I think that I'm just kind of a loser, this kind of a, this bum, or I thought I was a loser. And I remember this demon, it was tormenting me so bad. Like, yeah, when I worked, it got my mind off things. But then when I was alone or drinking or whatever, I was under the conviction. I was under conviction of the Holy Spirit that time. Like, the Holy Spirit started to convict me of my sin, because I remember I was trying to smoke. Like, I was smoking and drinking and doing all these things, and I'd feel guilty about it. But I couldn't stop. It wasn't until I met Jesus found me and saved me that I could stop doing all these things. But we'll get to that later on. So anyways, this demon, like, it really, really tormented me mentally. And I didn't feel the same after doing those drugs for some reason. I guess when I chased out that demon from that guy, I don't know, something happened there. I'm not sure, but I'm thinking a demon jumped in me. I'm not sure what happened. I had a demon ever since I was a kid. Because I would explain why I couldn't stop sinning. Like, I couldn't. When the devil controls you, he leads you into that stuff, like sin, porn, drugs, just to destroy you at the end of the day. Because the devil knows where you're going. He knows you're going to that, to Jesus. He knows you're chosen. Devil knows that. That's why he's trying to destroy. That's why he tried to destroy me with drugs and all these things. Even this one guy in Saskatchewan tried shooting me once. Bullet went right past my head. So that's just the devil trying to take me out. But anyways, this mentally torment, it got worse and worse. Like, it didn't get better. And I tried to avoid it. I tried to shrug it off and try to go on with life. You know how people do. Like, you go on, you think it's, people tell you, yeah, it's an anxiety, you have an anxiety, or this and that. But it's a demon at the end of the day. And I remember I was looking in the mirror, looking at myself, and this demon would just tell me, you piece of garbage, kill yourself, you're nobody, you know. And I remember it. I couldn't, like, I lost so much self-esteem, or I lost respect for myself. Everything was going, like, I didn't want to live anymore. Like, I remember sitting on my bed thinking if I had a gun here, I'd blow my head off if I could, because I didn't want to feel like that anymore. So, going through that, anyways, so being mentally tormented by this demon, this one time, to make a long story short is what I'm trying to say here, it was back in August 16, or April 16, I meant to say, that I decided, okay, enough is enough. God, I'm done. I started fasting. And so I started fasting and asking God, what's going on, God? I already knew God was like, I knew he existed. And I knew he was real, because I knew he was real from the colony already. I'd pray to him, like this one time we had a hailstorm, and I'd pray, God, stop it, and a minute later it would stop and all that. But anyways, I'd always pray. I never fell for that God they were portraying in the church in the Hutterite colony. I never fell for that. I couldn't even hear them preach, actually, at the end of the day. That's just how God operated with me. He never would. He wouldn't let me go to church. He kept me out of church. I never had a desire to go to church. He protected me from that just so that I could come to this truth here. That I mean right now, this end time truth. So that I won't be contaminated by anything. I was in this Messianic movement once. That's a joke. And I was in that. I didn't fall for that either. Like that guy, like what the devil does with those preachers. What that Messianic guy, he move on the emotions. Like you get you crying and feeling sorry about your sins. You move on your emotions, and at the end of the day, like you think, yeah, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. But at the end of the day, it just left me empty. There wasn't anything in that. I knew there was something. There's got to be something more. I didn't know what it was, but I always knew there was something more. And I guess God saw that. He saw that I was interested. Like even in the colony, I was interested in. In the book of Revelations and the end time, and I was so fascinated. I remember sitting outside one time and watching this blood moon, like it was a red moon, and I just think to myself, I just ask God, who is this God? I want to know this God. Who is he? And I had a desire to know who the Antichrist was. I know now, and Mark of the Beast, all these things. Book of Revelation, like the end time, I was obsessed with it. And I guess God saw that, and he had me predestined. He knew who I was, and he knew I'd come to him. Because that's what he did. He pulled me out of the colony to bring me to this truth. It wasn't anything that I chosen. It wasn't anything that I did. I'm not telling this story to brag about myself or to think that I'm something special. I must have been special in the eyes of God. But it's not something that I did. Like when he took me out of the colony and led me through this jungle that I went through. My family knows what I went through. Greenwald, I don't know how many, what they know, what I went through. I don't know if to tell them. But my family knows what I've been through because I was close with my mom. I'd tell her a lot of things. How I'd get abused at this one job and all these, how I couldn't settle down. It was just God moving me around just to break me down and to get me to where he wanted me. So anyways, getting back to this demon possession thing. It wasn't until April 16, the day I got saved, but two days before that, I think, I started fasting. God told me to fast. He put me on his fast. And I started repenting and feeling sorry for my sins. I told God I don't want to live anymore like this. Show me something, anything. And I remember while I was fasting, my mom would call me up and ask me what's wrong. She knew right away I was weak, and I told her I'm fasting. She'd say, and she'd ask if she should send in those preachers, and I said no, I don't know, because I was looking, nothing could stop me. I was just looking to one thing, and that was straight ahead. Not to no preachers. I didn't care for that. And then my grandma would call, and she'd ask me what if I want to come back, why I'm not coming back. And I told her, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm not listening to people, because I never really could listen to people. But I'm going to do what God wants me to do, because God had me set on one thing, and that was just repent. Just look for something. Like, I can't take this anymore. I can't take this demonic possession anymore, or couldn't take it anymore. So anyways,
When that happened,
I go through that, and I just read the Bible. I pray, and I cry, and I cry out to God, and I ask Him, God, please show me something. And it wasn't until the next day, I think day two of fasting. Like, I remember my dad, too, he texted me and told me, you can't act like this. You can't act like this. Go eat something. But anyways, it was the next day. Ernie, Lorraine's brother, natural brother, texted me. There's a book here for you. I want you to read it. And so, it's from Sam. And so I go there. And he gives me this book. And I read it. And the first thing I thought of, okay, this guy is a self-righteous, you know what? He's no good. And I throw that book away. And I told her, well, what is this? So I throughout that night, that evening, throughout that evening, I was just sitting at the table and I'd pick that book up again. And I'd read it, put it back, read it. It wasn't until I think I read this one part where it was talking about Greenwald. That's what caught my attention. Where in Greenwald they lost those pigs. And how Sam, the Lord told him to go down in Riverside. He was living in Riverside at that time. Where the Lord told him to go down and start a generator and save these pigs. He had the same episode. And 2 weeks before that, the same thing happened in Greenwald. And that caught my attention. And I think there was something else in there. Like, those of your own household be your biggest foes. That kind of caught my attention too. But I didn't. Anyways, as I was reading there, Ernie noticed that I was starting to see something. Like, I was something was catching my attention. Like, at the end of the day, Ernie was just trying to get me away, keep me away, trying to turn me against Sam. Like, he was doing that before. Like, he'd show me text messages Sam sent, and I think to myself that Sam is this self-righteous guy. You know, he's a. But I didn't know he was saved. I didn't know that he wouldn't tell me that. He just showed me his messages. Kind of get me to have sympathy for him. Because at the end of the day, Ernie rejected Jesus. And now he wants sympathy for it. He wants people to talk bad about Sam. That's not how. And he'll try and turn people against him. But anyways. So as I was reading, I was starting to catch my interest. God was starting to show me, reveal it to me, kind of thing. What it's really about. Like those people that are texting me, I think I've blocked off 20 people now. The first thing, when you come to this truth, and you read it or listen to it, the first thing you think is what I was thinking. This guy is a self-righteous guy. Like, whatever, he's a hater. That's the first thing you think. Yeah, he's a hater. And so it was as I was reading, God was starting to open it up to me. And then I guess as I was reading, Ernie saw it, that I was starting, God was starting to open it up to me, and he rips it out of my hand. Oh no, his sister comes in first, she rips it out of my hand and throws it down the stairs. And I tell her, that book is for me. There's something in there. I gotta have that book back. She gives it back. And I think they were talking about that book that Lorraine sent out. That story. Lorraine sent out her testimony, her story. And they were talking about it downstairs. Like, quietly. I didn't really hear them. Anyway, she gives me that book back. And I kind of... I kind of... I kind of... I kind of hid it, you know. I was kind of trying to get Ernie to give it to me. I want that book because I want to take it home. And he said to me, no, you're not getting that book. You're going to read it right here in front of me. And it was called Take Heed, that book. So anyways, at the end of the day, he ends up taking it, snatching it away. Before he went to bed, he snatches it away from me. And he goes to bed, and I call after him, Ernie, I want that book back. I'm not going to like you anymore if you don't give it back. And I guess he didn't care. Like, it was at the end of the day, it was the spirit of Satan doing that, getting me away from it. So anyways, I go back, I leave. I go back home. I was out in Headingley, and I was living in Winnipeg at that time. I go back home, and on the way home, I could feel a burning inside my heart. Like, I could feel, like, you know, when Jesus, the first thing that comes to mind is when Jesus, after he got crucified, and those disciples were walking, I think to Emmaus they were walking. I got a Bible here, but I don't want to look for that scripture. Know where it is exactly. But anyways, where Jesus was walking, where the disciples were walking back from Jerusalem, I think they were, and Jesus showed up. Like, Jesus just showed up out of the blue and walked with them, and he explained the scriptures to them, and they came to Jerusalem or wherever they were going, Emmaus, I think, I'm not even sure, but they came to Jerusalem, and he stayed with them, and he broke bread with them. And as they went back, and then they noticed, oh, it's the Lord, it's Jesus. Then they saw him, he was revealed to them. And on the way, but I guess Jesus left, he just vanished. Like, he was in his mortal body, immortal body or whatever. So anyways, Jesus left. And then they walked back home to Jerusalem. I don't know where they were walking. I'd have to check it up, that scripture, but I can't right now. So anyways, they were walking, they walked back home, and they said, didn't our hearts burn within us as he spoke with us? And that's exactly the same burning that I had inside of me when I was driving back home from Headingley, back home to that house. And I knew that Jesus had spoken to me, like he opened up the scriptures to me, like he did to those disciples. So anyways, I come home and I search for that website. And I think it took me 20 minutes or so searching for it. And finally I found it. I was checking on the news. All I knew was Sam Hofer. I knew they had a website because I seen it. That's another thing that caught my attention. That God showed me, I guess, give me a little bit of a lifeline. That's another thing that I seen. They had a website, so I go home and I search for the website. And I search Frank. I can't say that word. And I search for that website, like my life depended on it, because I knew there was something in that website. My heart was burning long, like it was. So I searched for it on the news, on Facebook, Sam Hofer, Sam Diz. Twitter, I think I went on there, and Google News, I was searching like crazy. I was all over the net. And finally, I find it, Let the Truth Be Told. And I go in and I listen to, I don't know what I listened there, I can't remember. The first one I listened to. And I remember the first one I listened to, like you guys that have been texting me, the first thing I wanted to do was, I thought, okay, I was back again, I thinking, okay, this guy is same as, he's a hater, like he's whatever, self-righteous guy. And so the first thing I do, I text Ernie to get his sister away from there. Get away from Sam. Like, I didn't text him, actually. I didn't text him, but I wanted to. I had the text written out already and everything. And then something the Lord tells me, God must have told me, no, don't do that. He stopped me from it. So I erase the message, and then I keep on listening. And I listen to him all night, like, and it kind of, around, I guess, towards the morning, it started to open up to me. And then I finally found that Take Heed book that I had at Ernie's place. And I read it, and God opened up that He opened it up, He revealed it to me, and I could understand it. And God told me, showed to me that it was the truth. Like before, when I read it, I was listening to it all night, but I knew there was something in there, and that's what kept me listening to it. But then, it wasn't until towards the morning, like it was up all night. It wasn't until towards the morning that God started to reveal it to me. Like He started opening up to me, and I started to see that what Sam is saying is the truth. Like He was talking about, this is before the coming of the Lord. Jesus is coming back. We are in that last generation. And God started opening it up to me. And it was at April 16, I think 5, my aunt was already went to work, I think, it was, usually goes to work around 4, and after 4, I was still reading that book, and it was talking about that Hutterite colony, how it's of the devil, how it's a satanic system, a diabolical system. How those preachers there just deceive people and all that. And so I guess, like before that, I was depending on, like I still was thinking that colony was the way to heaven. Like I'd read the Bible, I'd still think that it was the way to heaven. Like it was the church, whatever. Like you're brainwashed into thinking. And when I started to see that it wasn't what the Hutterite system was all about, God was revealing to me that what Sam is saying is true, like before I didn't see it. And then I could feel, it was before, it was five, in between 5 or 6, I'm not sure, I could feel something, I could feel like a hopelessness come over me. Like I don't know what to do anymore. I was done, because I now know that Hutterite system is not it. I now know the truth. Now what do I do? So I started to feel like empty inside. That was that feeling. So as that feeling came along, what it was the Lord Jesus. Like when he walked by and those blind people, they'd cry out to him, Jesus, save me. What it was Jesus was walking by, and I got that power. Like you can't even cry out to Jesus without God's power, without the Holy Spirit's power. So I could feel him coming along. I could feel him coming. I could feel Jesus coming, see him coming, and I cried out to him 3 times. Jesus save me, Jesus save me, Jesus save me. And it wasn't like I just said right now, it wasn't like a Jesus save me. It was a matter of life, it was a life and death thing. Like it was life or death. That's like when you're drowning, you yell save me. That's how desperate I was. And I'd start crying, and I was laying on my side. I remember on the side of the bed when I did that. I can remember it like it was yesterday. And I remember going up and going into the washroom, and I remember thinking, what just happened? What just happened? And then I felt the peace come over me. And
So whatever, I just go, I think, I don't remember what I did after that. I think I went and maybe read a little bit further on the website, listened to something, and I fell asleep. And I tell Ernie about it the next day when I got up. I think it was around 10 o'clock. I tell Ernie about it. And he was like, yeah, I always knew that. Yeah, agreeing with it. And I tell him about it. And I go there. And sure enough, his sister's there again. And I felt, I remember feeling so uncomfortable. Like I knew something's, why is she here again? That's the second time she was there. And I told him about Sam. Like, I believe what Sam is saying is true. And she was like, I know what he's saying. That might be true, but it's what he's done. Like, it's what Jesus did, I guess. Not freak, take Lorraine away from them. Jesus does that. So anyways, I was there talking, and I asked for Sam's number from Ernie, and he gives it. And I remember I lost it. I just put it in the keypad thingy. I just typed it in there, and I lost it. And so I go home again, and I emailed Sam that night. Like, I knew, I saw that I lost that number. So I emailed Sam, Sam and Lorraine on their website. I emailed them that I believe in what they say, and that I finally found someone that, like, I was always looking. I always knew who was a Christian and who wasn't a Christian. I always knew that there's people out there. There's Christians. There's got to be Christians out there. There's got to be something out there other than those churches, what those churches are teaching and the Hutterite colony. I always knew that there was something there else. That was just a desire that God, this thing that God put in me. So I messaged Sam and Lorraine telling them that I believe what they say, whatever. And I go to sleep, and I wake up in the morning, and then there's this message. Be right back. And they said, let's pray about it. And I remember I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll just wait. I'm not going to write back. And then I write them back, like I was getting desperate, because I wanted to. I was kind of like still fighting the devil. It's a good thing I fasted. Because if you don't fast, it almost looks like if you don't fast, you're not going to be able to break free from the devil's hold. Like, the devil will do anything to keep you away from this truth. If you don't fast, that's why I fast. That's why God got me to fast, just so that I could break free from Satan. And not be intimidated what my mom and whoever sees, because at the end of the day, it's the spirit of Satan trying to stop me from going ahead with this. If you don't fast, you don't have a chance. If you wanna, you gotta show God that you're serious too, before you can come to this. It's only by revelation. He'll reveal it to you, like he did with me. Reveal it to me. Other than that, if he doesn't, then other than that, you just see it as hate or whatever. So anyways, I asked for Sam's number. I need someone to talk to, because I didn't have anybody to talk to. I didn't trust, at that time, I didn't trust anyone with my salvation. But I knew I could trust them, because I knew they were telling the truth. God revealed it to me that they were telling the truth. So he gives me his number, and I tell him about it. I call him up and I tell him about what happened. And so I tell him my testimony. I tell him everything that happened, like I'm telling you now. And he told me, yeah, that adds up. Makes sense. So we hang up, and I think he asked me what I wanted to do. And he hangs up. Alright, whatever, we hung up, And he texted me after, do you want to come over? Do you want to? And I said, yeah, why not? I was still scared at that time. You know, I, after coming out of that 2 years of that 2 years of being, you know, what I've been through with this demonic torment and all this, like, running place to place, moving and all that, you kind of, and being alone, I was actually alone for 2 years or whatever, you kind of can't really trust, you know, you kind of, you're kind of scared, like I was scared of people. So I tell him, yeah, sure, I'll come over. So I go over to their place, and I remember getting there. I think it was in the evening sometime, I think. I remember getting there, and yeah, they seemed like nice guys when I first met them. They looked nice. And I already knew they were Christians, real Christians, because of what they were saying. I already knew from that website about what he went through and all that. I already knew what they were. God had already revealed to me that they were Christians. So I get there, and then we talk about it. I tell him about this messianic crap that I was in. That was kind of the spirit I had at that time, messianic stuff. And I tell him about it, and we talk. And I can't really remember. I guess we were just talking. And all of a sudden, like towards the end of the night, the devil, his last thing that he wanted, the last chance that he had there, he was trying to get me out of there. Like he was trying to tell me to go home, get out of there. Like I remember I was just sitting there staring down at the, on the floor. And they were sitting there beside me, and I was just staring there. And the devil was telling me, get out of there. That demon, I guess, I don't know, the demon or the devil, the same thing. And he was telling me, get out of there, get out of there, get out of there, kind of yelling at me, get out of there. And I wanted to leave. Like, I got my key ready, and I told him I'm going home. And they were like, no, stay the night. It's too late. Stay the night. And after kind of fighting with the devil, like, kind of, I fall for it, or no, I don't fall for it, but I decide to stay. So I go to sleep, and, no, I didn't go to sleep yet, I was on the couch, they go to sleep, I think it was before 12, I lie on the couch, I remember all of a sudden, like it wasn't all of a sudden, but this fear, this pain starts coming over me, like on my left hand and around and on my neck. Like it was kept intensifying, getting stronger and stronger. And I even was lying on the couch there, thinking, "Oh, I'm dying. What is going on? I think I'm dying." And I was tossing and turning and moaning. Like it was painful. But anyways, I passed out. Like, I don't remember. I remember tossing and turning. It was dark. I remember tossing and turning and this pain in my hand. So I just pass out. I go to sleep. Anyways, I wake up in the morning. And I could feel. I remember lying up. And I could feel different. I felt different. I felt like... I felt like my mind was at ease, you know what I mean? Like it was, like something happened. Like it wasn't like before. Like I remember when I got there the day before. When I got there the day before, like the night before, this demon was still, you know, like staring on the ground and all that. But when I got up in the morning, all that was gone. Like I was just sitting there confused, actually more like confused, but I was sane. I felt sane. I felt different. And then I overheard them talking. And I remember Lorraine's voice. She was scared. And I overhear them talking. Sam said, did he know he has a demon? And I overheard him talking and reading the Bible and whatever. Singing, I think this song was, sang a song. And I remember I listened to them and I asked him, you guys are talking about a demon. I was scared, like, what's going on here? Are they talking about demons? And so, and then they tell me, did you know you had a demon? And then, yeah, I told him, yeah, that would make sense why I was feeling like this the past all my life, I guess. It would make sense. And so, it was around time we were just talking, I think we were having breakfast. It was around noon that this feeling comes over me. This feeling of, I've never felt that feeling. Like I've done drugs, I've felt high, but I have never felt a feeling like that in my whole entire life. Like it was from the tip of my toe to the longest hair of my head was filled with joy. And I was just sitting there. I couldn't even move. And I was just sitting there all... And they would... Sam would come there like it was snowing outside. You could feel God's presence in that house big time. And it was snowing outside and... It seemed like I was... It felt like I was at peace. I was at peace with God. That's what I was feeling. I was this joy that I finally found what I was looking for after going through all this garbage, this demonic possession, these drugs, going through this porn, sex, all that stuff. And I could feel it was all gone. It was gone, like smoking was gone, and I was just sitting there in the presence of God, and I was just thinking all day. And they were listening behind me, listening to Donald Trump, and I heard Donald Trump, and I and I could hear that anointing that God has on him, and God is using Donald Trump, and I could hear all that, and I could. And I knew that they were Christians, and I finally, like I said, I finally found what I was looking for. I knew that this is where I want to be. Like, you know, like when you find something, like a pearl, a great prize. Anyways, that feeling, that joy, like this, I think it was the glory, Sam said later, it was glory of the Lord, like when the Israelites were in the temple. Were around the temple, the God would come down and His glory would come over them. Shekinah glory or whatever it's called. That's what I was feeling. And throughout, and I was on that couch for 2 days, I couldn't move. Anyways, at the end of the day, towards the end of the day, and they were just, Sam came there, sat down and taught me about God, and he told me who God is, who Jesus is, what he's done for me, like he saved me, and how God chose me. Just telling me about God, telling me about the Word of God, and telling me about, teaching me about God. That's what he was doing. And it was in the evening time, I think before we went to bed, they sang this song. They sang this song to me. Gute Nacht, wieder ist ein Tag gebracht. Wie ein Kind ruft mit Erbarmen, Vater, nimm mich in meinen Armen, in deinen Armen. Alles hast du wohl gemacht. Gute Nacht, gute Nacht. And I just broke down and I just cried because that feeling, that joy of the Lord kept intensifying. And I just cried there, and thanking Jesus for saving me. I remember I thanking Jesus, and I thought to myself, if Jesus was here, I'd kiss his feet, I'd hold him, and I and I'd hug him and do whatever. And I was just thinking there, lying on the couch, and I was crying. And I, well, anyways, that day was done. I prayed that day, thanking God for saving me, because I knew I was saved. Like, when you know, I knew Jesus had saved me. And I was there. I think that was the next day. We just kept on doing the same thing. They kept on teaching me about the Word of God. We drive around and talk about the Word of God. And the day finally came when I had to leave. I don't remember how long I was there, but I had to leave. And Sam would tell me, go home and tell, you have to go and tell your people, like when Jesus chased out that demon from that legion guy. He was insane, or he was breaking chains and in a cemetery and doing all these things. And finally Jesus came by and he chased that demon out of him and chased that demon into his pigs. And this demon-possessed guy was sitting there, like, when his demons were gone, he was sitting at his feet, all sane, and his townspeople, I guess they saw that. And they saw what happened. I think those guys that were feeding the pigs there, they ran and told the people, and they came out to meet him. And when they saw all that, I guess they were scared, and they chased and they told him to leave. And this guy wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus told him, no, you go and tell your people the wonderful things the Lord has done for you. And that's what Sam told me. You go and tell your people the wonderful things the Lord has done for you. And so I do that. I go home, and I could still feel that presence that was there, the presence of the Lord. And I go home, but the further I went from that house, from Sam and Lorraine's place, the further I went from there, the more that anointing there, or that presence would leave me. And the closer I got to home in Winnipeg, it was pretty much gone. So anyways, I just get home and I call my mom up. I tell her what happened. And I tell her what happened to me. I tell her everything. I tell her how I called out on Jesus. And I told her everything. Anyways, she agrees. She listened to it. So anyways, the next day, she comes in with my dad, with a truck. And I remember the day before, I had a nightmare about her. About that, it wasn't her, it was the devil. Like, he was laughing at me. I got up at 2 o'clock, and I'd never been so scared in my life. Like, I looked over, and there was this demon. There was this demon sitting next to me, and it was laughing at me. So I got up, and I was pretty scared there. Anyways, the next day she comes in with him, and then I show her this Take Heed book where I found, I read it and I called out in the name of Jesus. That was that Take Heed book. And I gave it to her and she read it and she said, hey, this is heat. And I told her, Sam is a prophet. And she read that book and said, and right away she said, this is heat. And she would come up to me and dance in front of me with this book in her hand. and say, woohoo, look at me, I'm a prophet, and all this thing. That was a weird thing. That was all Satan. Satan doesn't want you to come to this truth at the end of the day. You're blind. You're blinded unless God reveals it to you. So anyways, that was that. She did this weird dance in front of me, and I just looked down and I didn't say anything. But I knew it was the truth. I already knew that. So after that episode was over, I go back to Sam and Lorraine's. I don't think I told my aunt about it. But I go back to Sam and Lorraine's and I stay there. I slept in a corner there. Yeah, I slept in a corner there at his place. And that's when they really started. That's when my mom started to attack me. My mom and even my grandma, my brother. Call it saying, you'll never have peace. You're a Hutterite hater. You found somebody to hate Hutterites with. That's when and lots of text messages, like they would text, like a whole list of text messages accusing me of hating Hutterites and doing this and that, and even to the point of, like, where I knew it was the spirit of Satan. I knew it was the devil doing that, but I even came to the point where I would just say, be quiet, Satan. I told my mom, be quiet, Satan. That's how frustrated and angry I got at them. To this day, they're holding that against me, I think. But I didn't lie. That was the devil behind it, doing that. So anyways, we were just hanging out there and talking about God, and then they told me about this prophet. This prophet that walked on the earth in 1900s, I think 1909 he was born, 1933 he started to preach or baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the real baptism. That Father, Son, and Holy Spirit baptism is a counterfeit baptism. It's from the devil. The devil took it and changed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, like it was in the Bible, the disciples, the apostles, baptized like that. And the devil changed that baptism to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the counterfeit. It's a fake baptism. It doesn't mean nothing. You're actually the devil's. You're the devil's property. Property if you're under that baptism, whether you like it or not. It's just the way it is. So they tell me about all these things, and then they tell me about the Book of Revelation, how this prophet opened up the Book of Revelations, and how the six seals in the Book of Revelations and the trumpets and all this stuff that I wanted to know when I was a kid. When I was in the colony, this desire that I wanted to know the Book of Revelation, all this stuff was there. Everything was there, like everything they taught me, everything. And they had those newspapers there about predestination, about what happened, really happened in the Garden of Eden, and about the prehistoric world. They had all of that there. And it was amazing, like I was there reading all this stuff, and I was just right into it, to this truth, because I knew it was real, I knew it was the truth. And so I was there, it was kind of like a school, they were teaching me all these things, but they weren't teaching me evil like I've been accused of, and they're being accused of. They were just teaching me the Word of God. In the real word of God, not like churches preach, you twist that word. Anyway, I learned all this stuff, and we're just hanging out. Anyways, the time came for me to leave. Like, it was pretty obvious that God was moving me out of there to go on my own, to go back home and I guess go to school at home, because I had to go work out, like Lorraine said, that an eagle, like we're eagle believers, and if you're an eagle, if you're an eagle believer, what an eagle does, she said that what an eagle does, they fly out to the middle of nowhere or whatever, on top of a hill where an eagle goes, a bald eagle, and they break their beak to grow a new one. So that's what I had to go do. I had to go work out. Like the Lord told him, I had issues, and I did have issues. I did have a lot of issues, and I had to go deal with those issues with God. I had to go pray to God to get rid of a lot of things, because I was still fighting with Satan. After that, he wanted me back badly. He would, like, I was in love with this girl, and he would try and convince me that Jesus wants me to love this, to go back and whatever, get this girl. Like, he's a liar. And I had to pray to God, please take this away. I had to surrender it to him. Please take this away. And then he would come after me with this porn addiction and all these things. You try to intimidate me with that. And I had, now that I was saved, Jesus saved me, I had the power to break free from the devil. He couldn't do nothing anymore. So those were the issues. There's still a lot of issues. There's still issues that need to be worked out. Like, nobody's perfect. So yeah, because if I would have been there, at the end of the day, if I would have been there with those issues, and I would have to fight in front of them with that, that would disrupt their thing, what they got going on now. It's like Lorraine said, like an eagle believer, you gotta go alone, and you gotta break off that old beak to grow a new one. So that's what I did. That's what I've been doing after all that. And they gave me books and all kinds of stuff to get me going. But after that, after I left, that's when the devil really came after me, through my family, through people. Oh man, like he would attack me. So like those people that were texting me, I'm gonna send this thing to them, those people that were texting me, getting me away. And I remember I told my aunt from Calgary this whole thing. The Lord moved on me to tell her this. And so I did. And that kind of got her friends came after me too. And my mom got these guys, gave these people here, I think they come from Oak Bank, gave them, they gave them my number, and they came after me, like, telling me, this one guy even came after me and said he was involved with this truth, and he was involved with this truth. And he was trying to say that we got brainwashed. Like, he apparently, his dad called the cops or threatened him with the cops or something. And he was kind of trying to drag me into it and saying that we got brainwashed. And I told him, no, you don't, you compromise in the word of God. You don't compromise. And I blocked him out. And then this one girl too, she told me, I'm handsome, why would he fall like the devil? He works like that. He's flattery, trying to flatter you. And she tell me I'm handsome, and I kind of, yeah, I am actually, you know, I kind of fell for that. So anyways, I listened to that. Yeah, I tried telling you guys, like, this testimony, but there was absolutely nowhere. You were so caught up with this hate, saying this, and you were so caught up with what the devil was using you for, like using you to get me away from that, for this truth. And at the end of the day, I just blocked you out, because I knew you were
I knew it was the spirit of Satan behind it. Because at the end of the day, you guys can text me all you want. I'm going to send this thing to them, this testimony, what the Lord did for me. And at the end of the day, you can text me, whatever, you can call me. You're not going to get anywhere. It's because I'm not budging. God, I read the scripture the other day where God gave, what's his name? Jeremiah or somebody, one of the prophets. He said, I will make your head as hard as flint. And, because they're stubborn, I'm going to make you twice as much as stubborn. So anyways, I just wanted to say that this is my story, this is my testimony. And I finally found what I was looking for. I finally found what God has for me. Like he took me out of the colony. And we concealed. He drew me out of the colony and he brought me right to this truth here. He brought me right to Sam and Lorraine's house. There they chased out the demon. It gave me this truth. And now here I am. I'm living in this truth. And it's Jesus who saved me. At the end of the day, it's all I care about. All these people that are texting me, they're wasting their time. Because you're not going to get me away from this thing. But anyways, that's my testimony, that's my story. I don't really know anything much more. I could talk about a lot more things, but at the end of the day, I can go back to the colony and I can see now how God dealt with me, how he used, and even those people that were in my life, like my mom once said that those people that took advantage of me, like I'd always complain about people taking advantage of me. And my mom told me that now they're sitting at home with, like, I'd give those Greenwalders. I had a heart for those Greenwalders. I don't know why, but I'd give them jobs. I'd give them a place to stay and all that. And at the end of the day, they just left me. And my mom would tell me now they're sitting at home and with a bank, with a safe full of money or a bank account. At the end of the day, you guys, if that's the case, I don't know. At the end of the day, if you guys think you did that, like you're sitting at home and like a Faust Foulon or whatever, what you said. If you guys are thinking that and thinking you did a number of me, at the end of the day, you were just tools that God used to snatch me to, like when I was doing drugs and doing all these things. At the end of the day, God was just using you to kind of lure me out of things, or kind of like snatch me out of things that would harm me. Like there's a song on there. I don't really can remember it. What's the feeling? Yeah, I can't come up with it right now. But anyways, that's my story. Now I'm not blaming my mom. I'm not blaming my dad. At the end of the day, I didn't choose this. I didn't choose this. I didn't come to this end time truth. Like, I know everything that's true. I now know everything is true on that website. You guys can fight about it. You can moan. You can groan. You can rebel. You can yell in the air for all I care. At the end of the day, this is the truth. This is where I'm staying. And Greenwald and my mom and my grandma, they know what I'm about. Because I remember they know that I'm a special kid. Like, I'm not special in my own eyes, but they know there's something about me. Or they can hide behind that Hutterite cult. Hide behind that whatever they're doing there. I'm not even interested anymore. But they can hide behind that thing and defend that cult system as long as they want. But at the end of the day, they know that my mom knows I was searching for this truth. I didn't know that I was searching for this. But my mom knows that I was who I am. They know, like God showed me, they know who I am, but it's their ignorance. They can't see it. They can't see this truth. God has to open it up to them first. And that's just the bottom line. So at the end of the day, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm staying. I'm not going anywhere. My life belongs to Jesus now. He saved me, and when I was lying on that couch with his presence, and felt his love, I told him, my life is yours now. I'm not, do with me what you want to do, like, because you saved my life. I've been through hell. Well, not hell is going to be worse than things you go through on earth. But I've been through a very tough time and like demonic torment, and then Jesus saves you, and then you just can't. There's just no way that people are going to get me away from him. There's just no way. You can cry, moan, intimidate me, do whatever you want, but you're not getting me away from Jesus and this truth. And Sam and Lorraine. At the end of the day, they're real Christians. You guys say you're Christians. You're not. I know who real Christians are now, so. But anyways, that's my story. I don't know how good I said it. But it's the power of God that gives the increase. And so, this is where I'm at. I just felt I had to say it because Lord has me in a corner right now. If I don't see it, I'm not moving ahead. So this is where it's at. I'm going to send this to everybody. Because at the end of the day, those people that were texting me, I think it's ex-Hutterites knows, like my mom said. At the end of the day, they don't really know who I am. Like my mom, I told my mom this is my testimony. She won't tell them. She won't tell anybody who I am. She'll, like those guys in Greenwald, people in Greenwald, she's telling them, does the Almighty now know? When it's actually, I'm a spiritual person, I'm sensitive to the Spirit of God. It's not to do with Almighty now. Sensitive, I've always been sensitive to that Spirit. That's why I was able to pick up these songs in the colony, his rock band, Takeda. And I was able to know that it was God speaking to me. That's the only thing that kept my spiritual senses alive, or spirituality alive in that place. So you can go around saying that I have poor nerves, or I'm a mental, I've been called a mental case. At the end of the day, you're not saying that to me. You're saying that straight to Jesus' face. You're standing there with the crowd when he had to carry that cross up to Calvary. You're the same people that are standing there in the crowd and you're mocking and jeering and calling him names and spitting on him or whatever they did. They did all kinds of things. You're the same people that are doing that. So, at the end of the day, it's not me. Sure, I take a hit. It hurts for a little bit, but it's him. You're crucifying him all over again. Because I I was saved by him. So I'm identified with him, and if you're calling me and Sam and Truth identified with them and Jesus, so at the end of the day, if you're calling me all those things, you're not calling me that, you're calling Jesus that, and you're blaspheming God, and you're calling, if you guys don't repent, if you guys don't repent after hearing this, I don't know if you're going to make it all this far past without thinking your carnal thoughts. If you guys don't repent after hearing this, who I really am, then I guess all that's left for you is the wrath of God. There's nothing else left. And he's gonna deal with you guys. I don't have to. I just block you out, whatever I tell you, what I think, some of you. But if you guys don't repent and don't see what you're doing, then I guess at the end of the day, it's up to God. He's the one who's going to deal with you. And so that's just where I'm at. That's just where I'm at now. So just thought I'd put that out there.